We're going to talk about the Apostle Paul in a minute. And I want you to think that Apostle Paul would have been in situation today. This man who's been shipwrecked, this man who has gone through all kinds of things, went through similar situations to Tom Hanks. Part of that DVD, as you were watching it, as he's gone over the last breakwave, he sees the islands, and he sees the island that he's leaving behind, his comfort zone, but where he's been on his own. I want to tell you that no man is an island. We can't live on our own. God never created us to live on our own. Do we know that? God created us to have a relationship with him and with other people. The presence of other people is absolutely vital and essential. Sometimes we think we can be totally dependent on others, that we don't need other people. And I'm one of those character type of people that like to do things on my own. And we all think that we don't need other people, the type of character type that I am. But we do. We all need other people. It's essential that we have other people in our lives. When we forget that people are essential, we start treating people like inconveniences instead of what they really are. And what they really are is a God-given asset to us, to help us. People are important to each other, but most importantly, people are important to God. Do you know that you're important to God? Do you believe that? See, on the sixth day, God created. What did God create on the sixth day? Us. God created us. God created mankind. And he'd already created other things. He created us. But he put his image in us. He didn't put his image in the animals or the plant life. He put his image in us. That's how important we are to him. And it was for salvation of mankind only that God sent his own beloved son to die on that cruel cross. You see, Tom Hanks failed to rescue his friend. He wanted to rescue his friend, but he failed. And do you know, you and I, if the salvation of going to heaven relied upon us, we'd fail. So God sent somebody, his own son, made in his image, to rescue us so that we could have a wonderful relationship with him. And one day Jesus will return. He will return soon. The Bible tells us, if you're not used to this, that Jesus is coming back. He's going to leave heaven again. He's going to come back to this earth. And those people that have put their faith and their trust in him, he's going to come back and he's going to take them to be with him. But I want to say, even though Jesus has the power to rescue every one of us, we could be a Wilson in this room if we don't know him. He cannot take us into heaven. He can only take us into heaven if we're his friend. If he's in our friendship group. If he's our best friend. Does that make sense? And there'll be times when Jesus, when he comes, there'll be some people he can't take with him. He has that power to save everyone, but he can't take them because they're not in his friendship group. You see, you have to be in Jesus' friendship group to spend eternity with him. And that's very important if you don't know that today. But Jesus is coming back soon for his friends. And God uses in his wisdom ordinary people like you and I, made in his likeness. He works in partnership with us. It's a combined effort to befriend others and to bless others. Did you know that? Do you know you are in a combined partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ today to help others and to bless others? Is that good? He's created every one of us as distinct individuals, and he uses us with the special spiritual and practical giftings he has given us. That's why you are of ultimate importance in this church. That's why we're looking at spiritual gifts and we're looking through our Bible teaching in the midweek about reaching our potential, because what you have in your hands, the abilities God has given you, is unique. Do you believe that? See, you can't all be like me, And you're saying, thank God for that. And I can't, we can't all be like you. And I say, thank God for that too. But with the gifts God has given us, the spiritual gifts, the practical gifts, as we reach our potential, we're here to bless other people. You and I are here today because of Jesus. We know that. But we're also where we are on our spiritual journey because of significant others in our life. Do you believe that? There are people that God has, in his divine plan, sent across your path to help you and to encourage you in the faith. There are people that God has laid you on their heart and they're praying for you. There are people that God has laid on your heart and you're doing something practically or spiritually for other people in this room. You're coming to church on a Sunday and God will just lay someone on your heart and you will do something. And I'm believing today in this room, as we are looking through this series, that God is going to start moving very powerfully in the supernatural gifts and the spiritual gifts. And as you're in a service like this, God is going to speak to you by his Holy Spirit and he's going to say, I don't know, Ruth's in need of prayer today. Why don't you go and put your arm around her and pray God's blessing upon her? And God is going to supernaturally use you to bless other people, I believe. You will influence others. You will encourage others. You will help others. And today, there will be a start of friendships that will happen that will last you for many, many years to come. When I look back at my own life, I can name specific key influencers and encouragers who came along my path. Some of you will know. Some of you will know this man and this woman here that planted the church here. Some of you won't. There are some people that God has sent across my path you don't know. Perhaps Esther knows them, but nobody else will know. But nevertheless, as I look back, I've seen how God has put people across my path to help me on my journey. They were absolutely essential and vital to help me reach my potential, to reach and help me where I am today. I'd like you to look into the eyes of somebody near you. And I'd like you to tell them this. You are absolutely essential to others. Would you encourage them? You are absolutely essential to others. When we look at the life of Paul, we see a man who had great trials, great persecution, terrible hardships. This man had experiences like Tom Hanks did on that boat, on that little raft, being at sea for days, going without food for days. He was a superhero. Today we might call him Super Paul, with a big P on his t-shirt or P on his underpants. Super Paul. This man. It's not that funny. This man. Are we talking about joy this week or no? Can't remember. Super Paul. This man who was a superhero of the Christian faith couldn't do it on his own. Could never do it on his own. Do you know why? He needed others to fulfill the ministry that God had called for him. I need you so that I can fulfill my ministry that God has put upon me. You need me so that you can fulfill the ministry God has got upon your life. See, when he was ill, he needed Luke, the physician. There are times he needed Barnabas and Silas. When he was restricted in freedom, he needed people to carry his letters. His circle of friends in partnership with God, in partnership with Jesus, and in partnership with the Holy Spirit was the reason he accomplished what he did. We need the Lord Jesus. We need God the Father. We need the Holy Spirit. We know that. Those are given. But in order for us to reach the potential God has for us, each and every one of us, we need other people. We've been studying the Apostle Paul, and today we're going to look at, in the book of Philippians, two friends of Paul, two of his inner circle, two men that he could not do without. One of them he addresses as my son. I'm sure if we have a little competition, we'd know who that is. The other is my brother. These two men are significant people in Paul's life. They were friends that made Paul's life more enjoyable. Who needs friends that makes life more enjoyable? We want friends, don't we, where we can sit and laugh about what the pastor said in Sunday morning service. And some of you will be eating your dinner today and just starting to laugh, and may God richly bless you as you do so. But we need friends, not just friends that we can sit through the hard times when they're going through the challenges in life, when we're breaking our heart and we've got those difficult situations. We need those friends we can sit down and have a laugh around the table. Those people that will encourage us. So the first man we're going to look at is Timothy. Timothy, who Paul addresses as a son. And here Paul is under house arrest. He's in Rome and he's under house arrest and he's writing a letter. And as he writes the letter, he talks about his son Timothy. And Timothy is a young man who is mentioned more by Timothy than any other person. Paul most probably led Timothy to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a special bond there with him. He shares Jesus. Timothy responds. And Timothy and Paul become the closest of friends, even though there is an age gap between them. I love this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, before we go into Philippians. It says, "For this reason I've sent you Timothy, my son, whom I love." Isn't that wonderful? Right, so letter to the church, I love this guy. I love this person. Isn't it great to say of somebody, "You know what, I love this person." "He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere and in every church." So what happens is, Paul says, "I can fully rely on Timothy just to teach the word of God. I've got no worries about putting him in charge of any church or anything that I'm doing, because he just knows what to say. He knows what to do. We're in agreement." Timothy joined Paul as a traveling companion. And you'll read the start of that. If you want to do your own Bible study in Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to 3, you can start to see how their journey begins. And then in the letter to Philippians, Paul writes some interesting things about how he viewed his friend. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him." That's an interesting statement, isn't it? "I have no one else like him." Comes from the word kindred spirit. We'll come back to that in a minute. "Who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not for those of Jesus Christ." I just want to diversify for a minute and look at that verse. I'm praying that this church will be a church that doesn't look out for its own interests, but for the interests of Jesus Christ until he returns. Well, we can say, well, God's big enough to look after his own interests, isn't he? Surely God's big enough. He doesn't need me to look after his own. Yes, he does. We are here to serve the Lord Jesus' best interests. So when we make a choice in life, we can ask the question, is this in the Lord's best interest? Is what I'm doing in the Lord's best interest? With the way I'm behaving, with the decisions I'm making, with my time and my finances and all that I do. Is this in the Lord's best interest? But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with a father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. So Paul knows, as he's writing this letter, he's going to have to send Timothy at some point. He's just waiting to see how things are panning out with him under house arrest. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. So Timothy has this unique kindred spirit with Paul. It means in the Greek, same souled. This is the only time in the New Testament you will find this phrase. In other words, it means they were like-minded. They thought alike. They laughed at the same jokes. They loved the same food. If somebody said something funny from the front, they'd both smile at the same thing. And it says, Paul says, in all my friendship group, in all the people that I class as my friends, there is no one like him. We need somebody like Timothy in our life. Each of us needs somebody like Timothy in our life. We're not too old, we're not too young. No man is an island. We need a Timothy. It's really important. Neither of them had to work hard at the relationship. Timothy had a genuine concern about others. He was a compassionate person, which once again can be hard to find. Timothy modelled what Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Could we just read that together? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. We need friends that will look out for our best interest. We need friends that will protect us from the back and make sure that things are going the right way for us. That are willing to tell us the truth. That are willing to watch out for us. Timothy had a servant heart. Paul mentioned his proven worth, meaning that he was a man of caliber. And just as Paul did, and this is how Paul and Timothy are same-souled, kindred spirit, Paul came to serve, and so did Timothy. And by Paul sending Timothy to the Philippian church, it was just like he was sending himself. It was just like Paul saying, I can't go, but Timothy, you can go, and I know you can go and be the person that God created, be the person that God wants you to be, because you're like me. And I know you'll bless the people as I send you. He knew Timothy would model excellence. Timothy was the man for the job. He could trust Timothy, and it would bring relief to Paul. Because he couldn't go, Timothy can go. Do you know what's great for pastors? Is when you've got people he can trust to go and be people of God and not have to worry about how they're going to behave, how they're going to deal with situations. And you know, for this church, we just want to see you released, your potential, as God ministers to you, going and being like Jesus. Doing things in Jesus' best interests. So we have this wonderful lad called Timothy. Don't know an awful lot about him. We know his father was a Greek. We know his mother was a Jewess. We know she was brought up spiritually. He was brought up spiritually to know about God. Paul led him to Christ. The other man is a man addressed as a brother. He was called Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus was more than likely the man that took the letter back to the Philippian church. Epaphroditus had been sent to Rome by the church. The church had volunteered him, encouraged him, or he'd said, you know, I'm going to go to Rome to minister to Paul. So on his journey, that's what he's going to do. That's what he did. He goes to find Paul and to minister to him. But on his journey, when he gets there, he's not there long. He becomes ill. He's traveled to Rome. Whatever the problem is, he's become ill. And Paul says, he nearly dies. He becomes so ill, he nearly dies. It wasn't what he expected. He went to Italy for a holiday for the 50th, and it wasn't what he expected. There was something else that happened. He became ill and nearly died. Hazel, if you don't know, went to Italy. She became ill, but she didn't nearly die. But it's an illustration. So, you know, sometimes in life, we think we're going to go and do something, and it doesn't work out the way we think it does. Do you know that? And sometimes I want to say to you, things will not work out the way we think they're going to work out. They don't. God knows. We don't. And so he comes, he becomes really ill. And that actually becomes a burden for Paul. Because Paul is in chains. He can't go and visit his mate in the hospital. He just has to pray for him and say, God, you need to do a miracle here because that's my friend and I don't want to see him die. I want to see him raised up. And God raises him up. And so there's a joy that God has raised him up. But then when Epaphroditus becomes better, he has concern. He has concern for two reasons. One, that the people in the Philippian church are worried, will be worried that he's not well and he may have died, and they'll have concern for him. And he wants them to know he's okay, he's well. But also there are some people that would think, well, you know, he's not really a good disciple. He couldn't really run the course. He became a bit ill and gave up. Not a very good example of a Christian, really, isn't it? Not pressing in and doing the thing it should be doing. So Paul writes the letter and he says in Philippians 2:25, but I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my co-worker, my fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? To spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Can I tell you what? This guy, this superhero of the faith, had sorrows. He wasn't a superman. He was like you and I. He went through some very sorrowful, painful times. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Surely an apostle doesn't have anxiety in his life, you know. But he did. He became anxious about something in his life. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy. And honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Philippians 4:18. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. When Epaphroditus arrived, he brought a gift of money from the Philippian church. And the people trusted him completely. He brought this gift and he brought enormous encouragement to Paul. And Paul writes a letter of deep affection about this man. He calls him his brother, his fellow worker, his fellow soldier. And he writes about how he administered to him in his need. And these are admirable qualities of a friend. And Paul sent him back to show that Epaphroditus was okay, and so that the church in Philippi could rejoice together that their friend who they'd sent had faithfully served Paul and is back amongst the people. And Paul writes this word, or writes this letter, extend a joyful welcome and hold him in high respect. Why did he deserve respect? Why did this man, whom he calls a brother, deserve respect? Because he'd risked his life in coming to minister to Paul. See, in those days, if you were to go and visit somebody in prison, you would be treated like a prisoner. You would be treated like a criminal. You weren't treated nicely. You'd have been treated just like the prisoner would have been treated. It was a dangerous place to go and visit somebody. There were certain people in the New Testament that God called them. This was their spiritual gift ministry. He called them to go into the prisons and minister to the people, and when they died, to bury them, so they got a proper prison, a proper burial. Anybody fancy that ministry today? Should we draw lots for that one? And the Greek word is that they went into the prisons and ministered to those people, put themselves at risk of their own life in order to make sure that Christians can have a decent burial when they were put to death. They weren't just left and thrown to the lions for dinner. What was left of the bodies, they would take and they would bury them. Any visitor exposed himself to grave danger. The Greek word means gambling with one's life. Epaphroditus gambled with his life to go and visit Paul. And this is a special kind of friendship who would risk danger to help, even with the threat of death. Danger and risk don't threaten friendships. Danger and risk strengthen friendships. In your friendship group, have you got somebody that's willing to risk danger for you? This is a gamble on people's behalf for no other reason than they just love us. The only reason they do it is because they love us. And we need friends in this church, outside of this church, that just love us. In your friendship group, build people around you that just love you, that work on your best interests, and will rescue you if you need it. And so we come to the greatest friend that any of us can have. We heard about him on the video at the beginning. He's our King. His name is Jesus. First of all, he called us his friend. I have called you friend. How about that? You're in Jesus' friendship group. You can go to everybody. Do you know who my best friend is? His name is Jesus. Do you know him? You need to know him. He's your best friend. He laid down his life for us. He came to take away our sins. He made a way for us to spend eternity with him. Jesus risked all because he just loves us. Isn't that wonderful? He risked everything for you because he just loves us. Even those people that will turn around and say, we're not interested in you in Jesus, he still risked it all. Now he knows who's going to come into the kingdom and who's not. He's God. But he still did the same, extending his hand to those people, those nail-scarred hands, to all the whosoever. You see, he loved us so much that he knew there was no other way than to come and to lay down his life so that we could be saved. And I want to say to us today, just as Paul wrote about Epaphroditus, that he should be welcomed and received with joy and honoured, we need to welcome the Lord Jesus in each and every situation, every day. We need to welcome him with joy so that our joy may be complete. If you don't welcome him every day, I know he lives in our heart, but we're in a relationship with him and we're welcoming him, but we're also giving him the highest honour and the greatest respect. Why? Because he went into the only place that he could go, nobody else could go, and he rescued us. And in our friendship group, we have Jesus Christ, who we welcome, and we give him the highest respect and the highest honour. And as I was reading these words, I asked myself the question, do I welcome you every day, Lord Jesus? Do I welcome you with joy? Do I give you the highest honour in everything? Am I working in your best interest? And some days I have to say no, I don't, but I want to. Maybe you want to join me with that. With nail-scarred hands, he reached out to us and he waits for us to reach back to him in faith. There is no one else we will ever meet, no friend we will ever make that can do for us what Jesus can do. No one else can change our heart. No one else can turn our lives around. No one else can remove our sin. No one else can remove our shame and guilt. Only Jesus. Is he in your friendship group today? Does he have the best place in your friendship group today? Is he really your best friend? Because if he's not, he can be. And he's waiting with his arms outstretched today for you to be his best friend. For him to be your best friend. Now, we know we need other people. We need people of kindred spirits. We need people we can laugh with and joke with. We need people that will like the same things as we like. We need people that are willing to risk it all for us. And at times, we need people to rescue us. We need people. I want to tell you one of the ways the enemy isolates us and causes us to fall away in our faith, causes us to be anxious, causing us to worry, is he causes us to isolate ourselves from other people and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we think, well, I'm the only person that's going through this. And the enemy uses this trick time and time again. And you know, if you see one of your friends going inwards, don't let them do it. Go and find them. Go and seek them out. Knock on their door, get them out of bed, do something with them, pray with them, encourage them, love them. Don't let them stay where they are if they're your friend. Do something about it. Rescue them with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Genesis, we find that it was not good for man to be on his own. God created Adam, and he had a wonderful relationship. The Lord walked with him in the heat of the day. Wonderful. But it wasn't enough just for Adam and Jesus. He created someone like Adam called Eve. He created another person. And what does that tell us? It tells us that, yes, we need our relationship with God, but we need our relationship with others as well. One of the titles of Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. I love that title, God with us. He came down to be with us, to be with you and be with me. Today, we start with Jesus as our best friend, and we need to look for others. And I want to say to you today, start today. You might say, well, I haven't got many friends. Do something about it. Ask the Lord to show you. Break into the lives of other people. Get to know people in church. Now, I said when we were in the school, every person needs 7 people in this congregation. 7. I asked 3 or 4 times that people would do that. In the last few months, people have come to say to me, I haven't got any friends in church. I said, well, what did you do about the sermon? You were there. I saw you. What did you do about it? What did you do with the sermon? I didn't do anything. So I'm going to say again to you today, you need other people around you. You need to find them. You need to ask God to show you who they are. And it might be today, as we're going to play our song in a minute, our final song, that the Lord will impress on your heart somebody you could go and get to know a little bit more. Or it might be in this room, the Lord is going to impress on your heart somebody in the church that you need to go and get to know. Does that make sense? Holy Spirit will place somebody in your heart. You may not even be thinking about them, but right now, God will say to you, I want you to go and talk to that person. And who knows, on this journey where you start today, it might be somebody that will last you until you take your last breath and go to heaven. Who knows? Don't try and do this walk on your own. You need the Lord. Absolutely. You need the Word of God. Absolutely. You need the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. But you need other people. Does that make sense? Do you agree with what I'm saying? Who agrees with what I'm saying? Who's going to do with what I've said today? Okay, do it. Gospel of Nike, just do it. Okay. Alan, Daniel, could you come play for us? I am going to ask you to do something today, just as Alan is playing. I'm going to ask you to do something quite strange, because I'm strange. You know, when God created me, he went one of a kind, almost. See, Kate and I have the same like sense of humour sometimes. We'll laugh at the same things. You know, I thought there was just me. And then God sends Kate. And like I said, you've got to have a sense of humour in life, haven't you? So I want you to stand in a minute if you can. And then I want you to face each other on the two rows, on the two aisles, just for a minute. Just so this side, just look at that side, look at this side, okay? And I just want you to look at that person. And first of all, just say, thank you, God, for that person. Okay, would you stand with me now, if you can? Just have a look at the brothers and sisters that you've got. And as you're looking at them, first of all, say, God, would you bless them? This week, Lord, would you really bless them? Some of them are facing some challenges, waiting for results. Some are doing going to hospital. Some are doing all kinds of stuff. Some are just having a really tough time. Lord, would you just bless them today? Would you, Lord, through my prayer today, would you just bless them in a way that will just blow their minds? And Lord, maybe, just maybe, that person I'm praying for will be somebody that I'll be used to bless in the future and on a regular basis. Just maybe, Lord, you'll give me a word of encouragement for them. You'll give me a word of knowledge. You'll give me a word of wisdom. Maybe, Lord, you'll just give me an opportunity just to pray into the life and that they will be made well. So, Lord, let's just close our eyes just for a minute now. In this room, Lord, help us to look out for the interests of others. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to others. Help us, Lord, to remember we're here not for ourselves but for others. And Lord, there are people in this room that I'm going to get to know that I don't know. There are people in this room, Lord, that you're going to give me words for, and I'm going to strengthen them and encourage them. And maybe there might be some in this room, I'm going to rescue them in some way. But Lord, whatever it is, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Amen. Church, look this way. That's great. So we're going to worship the Lord for a minute. And then before you leave today, there's one more thing I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to find somebody you don't know very well and just greet them in the name of Jesus and say, I may not know your name, but I pray God will bless you. By the way, my name is whatever. And just bless them today. Is that okay, church? You're happy to do that? Don't run off. Please don't run off. Go and bless somebody today. Say hi. Great. Let's worship the Lord. Thank you.